Wednesday, October 18th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we release a new sports podcast every week, and we've got a very unique style of kind of talking sports here. It's a little bit different than you get anywhere else. We look at sports with some common sense. We look at sports, okay, maybe with a heavy dose of sarcasm, and sports history is always something that we like to look back at. See if we can learn anything from it that just might apply today. Now, it might be a podcast, but there are still a couple of ways that you can participate in the show. You can go check out new articles. You can go check out a link to the podcast every single week by going to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. In fact, this week, we actually released our first top five college football rankings. Hey, there were some big shakeups over the weekend with some of those top teams. We released our first Daily Dose top five rankings. Take a look at which teams we've actually still got some faith in if you head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And of course, there is always a link to the podcast right there. But maybe you've got a question, a comment, or you would like to contribute something to the show. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We'd love to hear from you. We would love to get your thoughts. Hey, today on the show, you know, as we progress into the college football and NFL seasons, we are now nearly at the halfway point. There are some teams that might not be considered favorites. Hey, we know who the favorites are. We kind of are starting to sort out who some of the big dogs are. We know Kansas City's right there. We know New England is probably going to be there. Looks like Pittsburgh should definitely be in the mix. Maybe, possibly, a Seattle, someone like that. Those teams are definitely in the mix. But today, we are looking at the kind of teams that are lurking just below everyone's consciousness. They might not be considered the favorites. They are the teams and the players that we might consider being under the radar. We will look at some teams under the radar for both college and the NFL. And you know, the NBA starts its regular season tonight. And while we still have to get to our NBA season preview, don't worry, that'll all be coming. We will look at a few teams today that might be a little under everyone's radar that you just might want to keep an eye on as we get into the year. And of course, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5. You always have to make sure that you stick around for that. But first, before we get to that, you know, Major League Baseball has now reached their league championships. Over in the American League, the New York Yankees came back from a 2-0 deficit to knock off the Cleveland Indians and move forward. And they put Cleveland right back where Cleveland is kind of used to being. Lovable losers, or at least losers. You know, the NBA tried to take that status away from Cleveland, but it's back. They had the best regular season record. They looked like the team to beat in all of Major League Baseball. Nah, Cleveland went out again. The Houston Astros sent the Boston Red Sox home very quickly in their divisional round. And now we have the Houston Astros versus the New York Yankees in the American League Championship Series. You know, I know the Astros are kind of boring, but they still may win this whole thing. And how do they win? It's good pitching. It's efficient hitting. It might be a little bit boring. And it's really, really effective. Over on the National League side, the Los Angeles Dodgers showed they aren't quite finished, despite some of those rumors as we were coming down the stretch. Yeah, maybe they just kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. They plowed right through the Arizona Diamondbacks very quickly. And then the Chicago Cubs won a deciding game against the Washington Nationals to move on. Washington is right now still the biggest loser city in the country. It was Cleveland. Then the NBA kind of made Cleveland a champion. And now it's back to Washington. Washington hasn't won anything of value whatsoever in the past 3-4 decades. It's been a while for Washington. Not to mention, you know, what goes on there on a daily basis. We know all the filthiness that happens in Washington on an everyday level. Washington is still a loser right now in the world of sports. You know, the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Chicago Cubs should be a pretty entertaining series. And I know the Dodgers are jumping up early, but I think Chicago will battle. I just think the Dodgers are loaded. I think they have too much. You know, I think we may end up with the Houston Astros versus Los Angeles Dodgers World Series. And that could be highly entertaining. Both teams, hey, they're stacked. It looks like these are the two best teams coming down the finish. And with Cleveland dropping out, as good as they looked in the regular season, I would look forward to a Houston Astros versus Los Angeles Dodgers World Series. That should be pretty entertaining. But can I just throw one thing out there real quick? Again, here at the Daily Dose, we are in the business of helping people. We try to help you get through your work week with a new podcast every week. We try to keep people informed. We try to keep you entertained. Hopefully, you know, maybe we make you smile once or twice. We try to help people. We break important news with our Daily Dose articles. And sometimes, we try to step in and help sports figures or sports leagues figure some things out. We're going to do that right now. Look, I know that Major League Baseball loves pointing out just how many home runs they're hitting. The ball is juiced, the bat is juiced, the parks are juiced, and most likely, we're going to find out at some point, the players are juiced. But whatever, I don't care. Hit everything out. Just pump everything full of steroids, and let's have like 37 to 36 games. I don't care. At least I'd be entertained. The playoffs have been entertaining. They usually are. Clutch plays. Decent pitching. There's been drama. There's been some controversial calls. It hasn't been like an all-time great postseason or anything, but it has been entertaining. But, these playoff games are going way over 3 hours each. You know, game one between the Yankees and the Astros went nearly 3.5 hours. And that's not uncommon. For the 2017 MLB season, the average game length is over 3 hours. I thought they were trying to make these games shorter. That's actually higher than it's ever been in MLB history. Of course, baseball officials are baffled. They can't figure things out. The guys in the boardrooms, they're crunching numbers. They're looking at pie charts and analyzing graphs, trying to come up with what sort of solution could we get? How could we possibly shorten these games? I can't figure it out. It's a mystery. I've said before that actually holding pitchers and hitters accountable to the rule of 12 seconds between pitches, which is already in the rule book, that would help immensely. The rule is already there, just no one adheres to it. Not sure even why they have it, to be completely honest. But I'm just going to throw out the quickest fix ever for these long games. And I'm seeing it a lot as I actually am tuning in for these playoff games. Seems pretty simple. You know, in every league, in every sport, you have a limited number of timeouts, right? In the NFL, you have 3 timeouts per half. In the NHL, you have a set number of timeouts per half. In the NBA, you have, I don't know, like 15 or 37 timeouts or whatever it is. So maybe that's a bad example. But here's my point. If you just limited the number of mound visits, you would trim the game by like 5 or 10 minutes. Because like every third pitch, there's a mound convention. The catcher comes out, first baseman comes over, shortstop always seems to stop by, and then these guys discuss like the pitch count and batter tendencies and maybe the best options for their defense. Should we shift? You know, current movies, favorite restaurants, whether or not Iron Man wore some sort of undergarment between his skin and his iron suit.
And I still say he's naked under there.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Shut up.
Is this really necessary to do during live game time? You can't do that down in the dugout after the inning. And here's the other thing. They finally decide to have a pitching change, okay? We all have to sit there while they go to the old rotary phone and ask the old-time 50s operator,
Can you connect me to the bullpen, please?
What century is this? Where are we right now? Why is this accepted as a common thing? The pitcher could look up at the scoreboard and you could just wave him in. We're not still back in the 30s, are we? Wait, because it's not over. Then they call the guy who has been throwing a ball for the past 30, 40 minutes. He sprints out to the mound. And then what does he have to do? He has to warm up. What in the world has he been doing for the last 30 or 40 minutes? We saw him warming up. It isn't like he came out of the bat cave and we couldn't see what he was doing. We've been watching you throw. You're warm. So then he warms up for a few more minutes. You know, in the NFL, and on Sunday in the NFL, we saw a couple of starting quarterbacks get knocked out of the game. The backup runs over, throws a few passes, and he runs out on the field. And he actually has to run around. He actually gets hit. These guys have to have 30 minutes of warm-up time and then another 5 minutes of warm-up time and then warm-up time between every single inning the entire game. No wonder they're blowing their arms out by the age of 25. Here, we thought it was summer baseball or throwing sliders too early. No, maybe it's the fact that you have to have 90 minutes of warm-up pitching every single time you take the mound. You know, if you just eliminated the 47 mound visits and all of that warm-up pitching, you'd trim 20 minutes off these games. If you actually adhered to the pitch clock, baseball games would be lasting like 90 minutes. It isn't that hard, people. Again, we're in the business of helping people. We're trying to help you out, Major League Baseball. You want to speed up these games without really harming the product. I'm not asking you to say, well, let's just have each team starts with two outs. I'm not asking for anything silly like some beer softball league. No, just stop all the nonsense. Hey, when they go to these long breaks and they're going to bring in another pitcher, I turn the channel. And I'll promise you, I'm not the only one. Imagine the millennials watching on their phone. You think they're going to sit there and watch that? It's not how it's going to happen. You know, for all we hear about baseball being the thinking man's game, I've got pretty substantial evidence that it isn't. Hey, coming back, we are going to be looking at a number of teams and players that are lurking beneath most everyone's radar. Plus, we do have a very special under-the-radar Daily Dose Top 5. You do not want to miss that.
Hey guys, Duff here from the Prime Podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to thank our network, Rogue Intel. Rogue Intel gives us the ability to speak our minds, be ourselves, and put out amazingly awesome podcasts. Be sure to check out their other shows at rogueintel.com. And if you want to help keep the network going, head over to rogueintel.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. It doesn't cost you any extra, and a portion of your total will go to help support the network. That's rogueintel.com/Amazon.
Table Reads with Sean McBee and Trevor Thompson.
Do you like podcasts?
Hate them. Hate them to death. Don't want to listen to another one ever again.
Good. Do you like movies?
Hate movies. If I could, I would just listen to music for the rest of my life.
Do you like hating things?
Hate liking things, and I like hating things. I especially like answering questions from people I hate, like you.
Well, do I have the thing for you?
I don't know, but I hope you don't.
I have a hateful podcast starring me and you, where we hate on movies that never got to be made.
Hate, 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 hate. We wrote scripts, and we didn't make it, so we're hating on these ones that didn't make it.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
Well, that's because they're hateable.
Hate, 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 hate.
They're terrible.
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Or visit TableReadsPodcast.com.
Hate.
You know, it was a wild weekend in the world of college football this past week, wasn't it? And it started early. I mean, on Friday, you had Syracuse knock off number 2 Clemson. Then, that same night, you had Cal blow out number 8 Washington State. It didn't stop there. On Saturday, we had Arizona State upset number 5 Washington. LSU and the Fighting Ed Orgerons beat number 10 Auburn. Boise State beat number 19 San Diego State. And Memphis knocked off number 25 Navy. Now, what do nearly all of these upsets have in common? The underdogs had no chance, right? And in a number of these games, the favorite was coming off of a big win. Clemson had beaten 3 ranked teams. Washington State had just beaten USC and Oregon in back-to-back weeks. Washington had been rolling through, well, pretty soft schedule, barely being tested. And it seemed like Auburn was improving after an early loss. Navy just beat Air Force. You know, we get these weeks where we check the schedule and we see there aren't many top 25 matchups, and you can almost set your clock by the fact upsets are going to be coming on those weeks. And I'll tell you why. Because the players look at the schedules too. You're talking about 18 and 19-year-old kids looking at the schedule saying, hey, we've got an unranked team this week. I might be able to score a few times. We're going to blow them out. I might be sitting out the fourth quarter. Yeah, it's not that easy. Especially when you don't prepare like you should prepare. And you can blame the coaches if you want. I totally understand that. But you know, you just know they were preaching all week. Don't underestimate this team. Don't underestimate this team. You know that Dabo Swinney was telling his Clemson Tigers, don't underestimate Syracuse. They are going to come out and try to take our heads off. Do not underestimate them. You guys got to prepare the right way. But it's hard to get these young guys to focus for an unranked team the way they did when they were facing a team that was ranked in the top 25. Because these young guys can't always handle success. You know, there's a saying in coaching, treat your winning team like they lost and treat your losing team like they won. Players do. They start reading their own press clippings. It's no wonder that coaches like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, guys like that, they're always grouchy because they're always trying to keep their players on edge. One thing I will say this season, these teams that got beat, maybe with the exception of Auburn, because that's now their second loss, these teams can still rebound. There is still time. So let's take a look at some of the teams in college football that are under the radar. We know the big dogs right now in college football, right? There's Alabama, there's Penn State, Georgia's right there. A few of these teams that have losses are still in the hunt, someone like Oklahoma. But there's another level of team that could contend, and maybe we've stopped paying attention to them, or maybe we've never paid attention to them, but we might want to start, because if things fall right, I have a few teams here that could find themselves in the National Football Playoff.
What?
No, really. First team. I think the Big 12 might have the most parity of any conference in the country right now. You look at teams like Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Texas. I mean, they're all pretty close. You get a big-time player like a Baker Mayfield or a Mason Rudolph, and that is the only difference between first place and maybe like eighth place. One team that could be a little bit better than anyone else in that conference might be head coach Gary Patterson's TCU Horned Frogs. Texas Christian has experience. They have balance. They're scoring 41 points a game. Okay, that's not a big surprise. I understand. We know Big 12 teams put up some big offensive numbers. But the Horned Frogs also allow just 17 points a game. Their schedule hasn't been real difficult yet, but they have beaten Oklahoma State. They have beat West Virginia. And they beat Kansas State on Saturday in kind of a weird game that was delayed a few times. It was just kind of weird. They still managed to come through. If TCU manages to beat Texas, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech, the Big 12 might get another team in the college football playoff, but it just won't be the team we thought it might be. It could be TCU instead. Have to see if TCU can hold on. Another team might be a little bit under the radar. I'm telling you right now, get ready to feel sick to your stomach, because this next team could crash the playoff party. What if I told you, no, this isn't a 30 for 30, but what if I told you a college football team managed to go 11-1 with wins over Michigan State, wins over USC, wins over North Carolina State, Miami, and Stanford, and that their only loss was to number 3 Georgia back in early September? Yeah, they'd have to be a contender for the playoff, wouldn't they? Okay, don't look now, but Notre Dame has a chance to do exactly that. Now, we know the media is very, very quick to place Notre Dame way higher than they're even deserving of in their rankings. It's happened for years. They've got a big name. And to be fair to Notre Dame, who have been put into big games just because of their name, if they get through the rest of this schedule with just one loss, they probably do deserve a shot. They're running the ball extremely well. They're stopping the run. That's a pretty good combination at South Bend. Notre Dame, I know no one's really talking about them right now. If they get a win this weekend, they're going to be sneaking into that national playoff picture. Next team up. You know, everyone's looking at the Big Ten. Who's going to come out of the Big Ten? Who could come out of the Big Ten and represent in the college football playoff? Right now, of course, the two hot teams, Penn State and Wisconsin. Understandable. They're each 6-0. They're rolling along. But here's what could snag each of those teams. Wisconsin has a horrible out-of-conference schedule. The best team on Wisconsin's out-of-conference schedule is 1-6 BYU. That's the best they have. And Penn State does still have Michigan, does still have Ohio State and Michigan State on their schedule. So who's the team that could end up sneaking into the playoff picture from the Big Ten? Again, I hate to tell you this, the team that got drug up and down the field by Oklahoma last month, and the team that the college football committee seems to just like to put into the playoff every year, no matter what. I think it's just a habit at this point. The Ohio State Buckeyes. Yes, the Buckeyes get to host Penn State. Now, they will have to go to Ann Arbor at the end of the season, but if Ohio State were to face Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship, who would you be betting on? We've kind of forgotten about Ohio State, haven't we? But the Buckeyes might just be a little below our radar. They could sneak right back in. Next team that's a little under the radar that could get into the national playoff. I'm not sure they can pull it off, because I'm just not sure they honestly have the people and the talent to do it. But the Miami Hurricanes have such a soft schedule down the stretch, they might play their way into title contention. The Canes are currently 5-0. Who have they beaten? Not really anyone. They beat a broken Florida State squad, and they beat Georgia Tech at home in a monsoon. But they will still see Notre Dame, and they will still see Virginia Tech. So that could beef up their strength of schedule a little. And here's the thing. If Miami could get to the ACC championship game and somehow win it, are you telling me the committee would keep the ACC out? No way. Miami would be going. I'm not sure this team is honestly all that talented, but if things break right, Miami could be there. And I'll give you one more team. Again, that's a little bit off our radar, and I'll be very upfront. I don't think they have the horses to do it. But I still think USC is in the hunt for a national title. Just because of who they'll face down the stretch, they're projected to finish with a pretty solid strength of schedule. Remember, there are now no undefeated teams in the Pac-12. In fact, if USC doesn't do it, the Pac-12's got a pretty good chance of getting left out of the playoff completely. But here is USC's remaining schedule. At Notre Dame, at Arizona State, those are two tough back-to-back games. Then Arizona, at Colorado, and home against UCLA. Now, I have some questions about the Trojans' defense. I have some questions about their depth in general. But if they do win out, I think USC would be right back in the thick of a playoff race, despite the fact, right now, they're a little bit off everyone's radar because, again, we saw them lose to Washington State, and you kind of just forget about them, don't you? You kind of just forget. Oh, yeah, USC is still out there. Again, if they can roll through the rest of this schedule, I think they've got a chance. Otherwise, Pac-12 might be in some serious trouble. They're not putting Washington in, not with that horrible strength of schedule. Washington's going to be in trouble now. They're going to need a number of other teams to lose first. Okay, so it isn't just teams that are out there lurking beneath our radar. This is a weird season. There just aren't that many heavyweights out there. There's Alabama, and then there's, well, maybe this guy or this team. Or could we see someone sneak into the Heisman race that we're not expecting? We know. The favorites right now, Penn State running back Saquon Barkley, looks like he's the guy. I'll throw in Stanford's Bryce Love. Very explosive running back. Oklahoma's Baker Mayfield. I still put Baker Mayfield at least as a possibility. Baker Mayfield was my pick to begin the year. You're my boy, Baker.
You're my boy, Blue!
USC's Sam Darnold. You've got to at least think about him. If USC were to play their way back in, yeah, he's going to get some consideration for the Heisman as well. But here are a few guys that are sneaking into that conversation. You know, we know Heisman voters love voting for the top players on the top teams. The problem is that Alabama's offense isn't always consistently great, but their defense is. And Minka Fitzpatrick is one of the reasons so far. Fitzpatrick plays a little corner, plays a little safety. He's got 32 tackles, blocked a kick, picked off a pass, forced a fumble, and has broken up four passes. Would the Heisman Committee vote defensive? Probably not, but this is kind of a weird season, isn't it? So, I don't know, maybe. Another guy, you know, we just mentioned the Wisconsin Badgers, and they have a freshman running back in Jonathan Taylor. He just put up 219 yards against Purdue on Saturday. Taylor already nearly has 1,000 yards this season. He's already scored 10 touchdowns. If Wisconsin keeps winning, Heisman voters won't have much of a choice but to give a few votes to the freshman running back, would they? Jonathan Taylor might end up getting a few votes. Here's another guy. He was a preseason candidate, but when Oklahoma State lost to TCU, we all kind of forgot about Mason Rudolph. But Mason Rudolph is putting up insane numbers, and Heisman voters, they do love their numbers. How about these numbers? So far this season, Mason Rudolph is completing nearly 67% of his passes. He has nearly 2,400 yards, 19 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions. Now, the key for Rudolph is going to be, can he keep up those numbers in games against teams like Texas, West Virginia, and Oklahoma? If he does, he's going to be right back in the thick of the race. If not, we'll probably forget about him. I'll give you one more guy, and I don't think he's going to win it. But I'm going to give you one more guy, because you know how we go through a college football season, and then we have the championship, we hand out the Heisman, we hand out all the awards, and after the season, we have that one guy that kind of comes forward, and he might be the best player in all of college football. He ends up getting drafted in the top 5, and before that, like, you're like, I never even heard of that guy. Doesn't sound familiar to you? What about guys like Myles Garrett, or Vic Beasley, or Khalil Mack? All these guys, we're like, I've never heard of that guy. Khalil Mack, who's he play for? Buffalo? I have no idea. And then he ends up getting drafted in like the top five. Well, this year, that guy could end up being North Carolina State defensive end Bradley Chubb. At 6'4 and 257 pounds, Chubb can play in either a 3-4 or a 4-3. He is very, very disruptive. So far this season, Bradley Chubb has 35 tackles and 6.5 sacks. No, he's probably not going to win anything. I doubt he gets invited to the Heisman, but don't be surprised if you start hearing his name mentioned as a bona fide top draft pick in next spring's NFL draft. Bradley Chubb might be that guy this year. You know, I know we're going under the radar this week, but I did want to throw out a couple of games that need to be firmly on your radar this weekend because we have some good college football games. We ended up having a good week last weekend with the upsets. This week, we've got some really, really good games. Number 10, Oklahoma State goes to Texas. And the Longhorns are starting to show some life, aren't they? They gave Oklahoma all they wanted on Saturday after they gave them a huge lead to start with. And yes, they got some favorable calls, but Tom Herman, he's slowly getting Texas going. And Oklahoma State cannot afford another loss. They'll be in big trouble if they take another loss. Could be a good game. Number 19, Michigan goes to number 2, Penn State this Saturday. That is a huge game, and not just in the Big Ten, but nationally. Michigan coming off of a very tough overtime win over Indiana. Penn State had a bye. Now, I expect Penn State to beat Michigan. I expect Penn State to handle Michigan. I think Michigan's a little bit overrated. Their offense looks absolutely horrible, but we'll see how that goes. That's a big, big game nationally. And then, number 11, USC, goes to number 13, Notre Dame. In another game, again, we talked about could have national playoff implications. If you are looking to waste your Saturday watching football, yeah, this weekend's college football schedule is going to allow you to do so very, very easily. Okay, so the NBA season is officially starting tonight. And in the next few weeks, we'll have to get around to doing our full NBA preview, but we know the leading candidates to be contenders, don't we? I mean, the Golden State Warriors are the champs. The Cleveland Cavaliers are the contenders. They've already met 3 times in a row in the NBA Finals, and they might meet a 4th time. I suppose we can make a case for teams like Boston, or maybe the Houston Rockets, or maybe Oklahoma City. And we'll talk about all of that in our upcoming NBA preview, but right now, I just want to talk about 3 teams that we aren't looking at. Teams that we aren't thinking of right now. Yes, teams that are under our radar. Okay, you might say that I'm crazy, but I actually like the Portland Trailblazers. And when I tell you why, you might be tempted to stop the podcast. Don't you do it. We know the Portland Trailblazers have Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, but they just haven't had much inside presence. Do not sleep on the impact that Jusuf Nurkić could have in Portland. We only saw him play 20 games in Portland after he got traded from Denver last season. He missed some time with injuries. But do you realize that Portland went 14-6 with Nurkić in the lineup? I don't expect them to contend for a title, but Portland could be kind of an under-the-radar playoff team. Don't sleep on the Portland Trailblazers. I'll give you another team. Might be under our radar in the NBA. Here's a statistic for you that might actually blow your mind a little bit. When Cody Zeller was on the floor for the Charlotte Hornets, they were a plus 210 in point differential. When he wasn't on the floor, they were a minus 194.
What?
Yeah, what is going on in Charlotte? We know that Kemba Walker's a freak. He can score almost anytime he wants. Frank Kaminsky getting better. They just drafted Malik Monk, could give them another score, but this team needed another inside presence. Who could they get? Oh yeah, another under-the-radar guy. Dwight Howard is now in Charlotte. Okay, he's under everyone's radar. He's like under his own mom's radar. But Dwight Howard can be a defensive force. And don't forget, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, he likes to go clean up missed shots. Hey, we all know the Eastern Conference is soft. Don't be surprised if Charlotte actually puts together enough to maybe make a run at the playoffs. All you got to do is win, like, what, 40 games? You're probably in. Don't sleep on Charlotte. Okay, I'm going to give you one last team that's a little bit under the radar this year in the NBA. And this isn't a typical under the radar team. But you tell me, right now, going into the NBA season, is anyone really talking about the San Antonio Spurs? Of course not. Because they're old and they're tired, and we saw them get swept by Golden State last year, and they're going to probably be a little bit worse. They're another year older. They lost a couple guys. But we did also see San Antonio beating the Warriors handily in game one until Kawhi Leonard turned his ankle. Tony Parker is old, but Patty Mills is capable of taking over games. And Kawhi Leonard is the most complete player in the NBA. Yes, we saw Oklahoma City making moves. Houston got Chris Paul. Minnesota, young and very, very talented. But there are a few things we can count on in this world. You can always count on death, right? You can always count on taxes. And you can pretty much always count on the Spurs winning more than 50 games. We'll continue in the NBA. Because we have more than just teams. I've got three players that are actually going to be under the radar a little this season. You know, the Utah Jazz might be a popular team to pick to slide down the standings since Gordon Hayward left for Boston. But with Rudy Gobert still there, the Jazz will still be okay. But I'm going to give you a guy that's under the radar in Utah. Because with Rodney Hood taking some of Gordon Hayward's shots, Utah might actually be better than people think. Hood is improving as a player. At 6'8", he's more than capable of getting into the lane, finishing up over smaller players. He's too quick for a lot of big men, and he's too big for a lot of guards, so he becomes a little bit of a mismatch problem. If Hood can stay healthy, don't forget that he's left-handed. And I know that doesn't sound like a big deal. Okay, so he's left-handed. Who cares? I just make sure I contest on the left side. Everything is left. Everything is left. And so it just is a different way to think when you're trying to defend a player like that. If Rodney Hood can stay healthy, he's going to be a pain. Because it's going to be hard for opposing players to consistently defend him. I know they lost Hayward. Don't sleep on Rodney Hood and the Utah Jazz. Give you another player. Yes, he missed his entire rookie season with that broken bone in his foot, but Philadelphia 76ers Ben Simmons has been playing pretty well in the preseason. He's been pretty solid. He is such a big guy to have the ball handling and passing skills that he has. He's going to be a pain to defend, especially in transition. Because what do? When they're running the floor, he's so good at finishing at the rim. I understand. He's not a consistent enough shooter. But I'll tell you where Ben Simmons can make up for it. It's going to be a lot about desire for Ben Simmons because he's a pretty solid rebounder. He can get some clean up garbage points every single night if he just wants to work for him. Now, if he develops a shot, look out because Ben Simmons could be very, very good. You know the thing I want to see in Ben Simmons? And I don't know this. I just want to watch because I saw what he did at LSU. And yes, he's talented. Yes, he sees the floor. He's a huge guy that can play the point. But the thing I want to watch as he comes into the NBA this year, I want to see if he's going to play anything whatsoever resembling defense. He's never really been asked to put in much effort at the defensive end of the floor. You know, when you come up through that AAU circuit, coaches just want you. They're not going to demand too many things of you. They just look at you and say, hey, let's see if we can just get him to score a million points a night. Let him go off. But I'm not going to really ask you to work that hard. At the NBA, he won't be asked to work hard. But if he does work hard defensively, Ben Simmons could make Philadelphia at least a respectable team. With Joel Embiid on the floor, he and Simmons would make a pretty good combination. And what if, just what if Markel Fultz actually gets healthy and actually starts looking like a top pick? Hey, I hate to say this. But the Philadelphia 76ers might not be embarrassing. I know, pretty surprising. It's going to be fun to watch Ben Simmons. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what he does because he's had so much recognition already as a young player, never played in the NBA. I want to keep an eye on Ben Simmons this year. He could be a breakout player. I'll give you one more player just to keep an eye on. And I have a hard time buying into any sort of summer league or preseason stuff. I just struggle with it. You know, I coached in summer leagues, and I know how completely unrealistic that they are, because not everyone is using their best players in summer league. Not everyone is even running much of a system in summer league. So when you're in those summer leagues, sometimes you look at certain players and you go, wow, he looks phenomenal. Well, yeah, but in a real season game, the defense is going to have their system in, they're going to take some things away. The offense is going to make him work a little harder at the defensive end. It all changes. He's going to be going against better talent, all those things. Having said all that, it is really, really hard not to be impressed by Dallas Mavericks guard Dennis Smith Jr. Dude is a freakish athlete. He can jump over defenders, and he just completely attacks the rim. Now, I'm not expecting a ton from Dallas this season, but I'm telling you right now, if you get a chance to see Dennis Smith Jr., he is going to be highly entertaining to watch. If he hasn't dunked on you yet, it might just be a matter of time, because Dennis Smith Jr. is going to attack the rim. Nothing else, he's going to be one of those, you know, NBA dunk contest kind of guys, but he's a talented guy, and he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He was one of those guys that probably should have been taken a little earlier if he had showed to be a little more coachable when he was in college. Might have cost himself some money, but do not sleep on Dennis Smith Jr. Very, very talented player. Okay, let's shift over to the NFL, because it was another wild weekend of NFL football. You know, this season has been so hard to figure out. Just when we think we have a team figured out, they flip, win a big game. Just when we think we have a team, okay, you guys are surely going to be a contender this year, they roll over and die on us. It's hard to figure things out. Here's just a little bit of an example of some of the craziness we saw this last weekend in the NFL. We saw Aaron Rodgers go out with a broken collarbone. Hey, in the NFC, the Green Bay Packers were looking like one of the top one, two, maybe third best team in the entire NFC. They were definitely a contender to go to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers probably lost for the season with a broken collarbone. Not good. Because with that broken collarbone, you've got a choice. You can come back early and never heal correctly, or you can get it surgically repaired and miss the entire season. Now, you can sit there and say, hey, he wants to be back. The Packers were playing very, very good football. I don't think you can force him back too early. Get that thing fixed and get it right. It's going to have to be next year for Aaron Rodgers. That wasn't it. Then the Atlanta Falcons managed to blow another lead. But this time, it wasn't to the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. It was to the Miami Dolphins and Jay Cutler. I guess based on that, Cutler is now the second greatest quarterback ever, right? He came from 17 down to beat the Atlanta Falcons. What is going on in Atlanta? Why can't Matt Ryan come through with a second half score? It seems like ever. I don't understand Atlanta. So high powered at times. And then they just completely go away. Weird week in the NFL. Both Carson Palmer and Adrian Peterson managed to look really good for the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, and that still almost wasn't enough, because the Arizona Cardinals defense allowed Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns in relief of Jameis Winston for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Arizona was holding on for dear life, had to recover an onside kick at the end, or Ryan Fitzpatrick might have spoiled Adrian Peterson's debut with Arizona. Telling you, weird week. The Denver Broncos were 3-1 coming off a bye week and got thumped by the winless New York Giants, who honestly had guys playing wide receiver. I think they were bagging groceries last week. Denver looked like, hey, we're 3-1. We think we might be a contender. The Giants are limping in here. Can't do that in the NFL. Because any given week in the NFL, the margin for error is so, so small. It is so amazing, these franchises that continue to win each and every year, win and win and win. The margin for error is just tiny. Weird, weird week in the NFL. And that wasn't it. Because also in the NFL on Sunday, former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick filed a grievance under the collective bargaining agreement against NFL owners for collusion, saying that they have kept him out of the league because of his political protests. And if he were to somehow win, it could crush the collective bargaining agreement. It's going to be really, really difficult to prove collusion. And the burden of proof will be on Kaepernick's legal team to prove the NFL owners did actually collude to keep him out. See, here's the thing. You might look at the NFL and say, well, hey, of course there's collusion. Kaepernick has to be one of the top 96 quarterbacks available, right? Yeah, maybe. Probably. Of course, he couldn't beat out Blaine Gabbert last season. That doesn't help his case. But you would think, if we were counting 96 quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick probably fits in somewhere, doesn't he? But see, that's not what's going to be up for debate in this arbitration hearing. You're going to have to prove that NFL owners all got together and said, hey, Nobody signed this guy, okay? That's what you'll have to prove. Well, how do you prove that? Unless someone was stupid enough to like put it in an email or write it on the back of a napkin and you got that email or napkin, how are you going to prove it? It's just going to be hearsay. Well, we think that they colluded. Like, look, he's really good. He should be in the league. Well, he couldn't beat out Blaine Gabbert, so they can argue back. Well, there's no collusion. He just wasn't that good. So it's going to be very, very tough for Colin Kaepernick's legal team to prove any sort of collusion. And you know what else is going to be tough? Ever getting a job in the NFL now. After you file a grievance against the league, yeah, it's going to be a little bit tough to get a job now, isn't it? I'm assuming Colin Kaepernick is looking at this situation and saying, I have no chance to get in. I don't have a prayer, so I'm going to file the grievance and just hope for the best. I just think it's going to be really, really difficult to prove. And if you can't prove it, you're walking away with nothing and you're never getting a job in the NFL again. Okay, so the NFL is so overanalyzed, it's going to be a little bit difficult to find teams that are under the radar. But here are a few teams that are at least contenders to be under the radar. And I'm not saying that they're Super Bowl contenders, but these are a few teams that could make the playoffs. And if they do make the playoffs, they could be a very, very tough out once they get there. First up, this may be more about their division than it even is about them. Because it's looking right now like the only competition that the Houston Texans are going to face for the AFC South might be from the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Tennessee Titans, they really need quarterback Marcus Mariota to be healthy. They just look terrible without Mariota. In fact, I would say right now, take the best team in the NFL. Pick a team. Who do you think the best team in the NFL is right now? Maybe a Kansas City, Pittsburgh just beat them, maybe New England, someone like that. And put Tennessee Titans backup quarterback Matt Cassel on that team. They won't win a game the rest of the year. That's how bad Marcus Mariota's backup is. And then you have the Indianapolis Colts in this division. They're still waiting for Andrew Luck to come back. Who knows if that ever happens? Meanwhile, the Houston Texans, they do keep losing defensive players. They have lost J.J. Watt. They've lost Whitney Mercilus, and now they've lost Dylan Cole. But that defense is still pretty good. And with Deshaun Watson at quarterback, the Texans are all of a sudden putting up big-time points. Think about this for one sec. Since dumping Tom Savage for Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans are averaging 34 points per game. I don't think they can really contend for a Super Bowl, but let me ask you this. If they get into the playoffs, would you want to see the Houston Texans? I don't. They'd scare me. Deshaun Watson, he's starting to look like the real deal. And I know it'll change. He'll have some off games. Deshaun Watson, kind of looking like he did in college. He's just a guy that figures things out. Another team, didn't get much respect in the offseason, and understandably so, has to be the Washington Redskins. They had looked completely dysfunctional. Remember when they fired their general manager? They claimed he was an alcoholic. Came out that maybe they were making that up. And then they had the whole issue with Kirk Cousins and what do we do? But Washington is running the ball really, really well. And Kirk Cousins is playing mostly mistake-free football. He has 7 touchdowns, just 1 interception. The defense has to get better. But Washington is a legitimate contender to make the playoffs. Yes, they do have 2 losses. So you might be looking at Washington and saying, well, they've got 2 losses. Do you realize who those losses were to? They lost to Philadelphia and they lost to Kansas City. Their win against the Rams in Los Angeles, yeah, it looks pretty good now, doesn't it? Washington might be an under-the-radar contender. Okay, next team. And this one would have sounded absolutely ludicrous a few weeks ago. Because the Cincinnati Bengals started off the season 0-3. They lost to the Ravens, they lost to the Texans, and they lost to the Packers. They were outscored 60-33. It looked like Cincinnati was done. But we talked about it before the season. The Cincinnati Bengals have talent. It is not that they are without talent. So after week 3, the Bengals fired offensive coordinator Ken Zampezi. And they promoted quarterback coach Bill Lazor.
Back in the 60s, I developed a weather-changing machine, which was in essence a sophisticated heat beam, which we called a laser.
Since that move, the Cincinnati Bengals have won 2 in a row. Yes, they beat the Cleveland Browns. That doesn't mean that much. But they beat the Buffalo Bills, too, and that's a pretty good win. And you know what the biggest change seems to be? They're looking to get the ball to wide receiver AJ Green. Yeah, that's kind of a novel concept, isn't it? He's clearly the best player on the team. Why wouldn't you feed him the ball as often as you can? I want AJ Green to be getting like 20 touches a game. He's very, very dangerous when he gets the football. Can Cincinnati keep it up? I don't know. But you know what? We're going to find out a lot this week because Cincinnati is going to be playing Pittsburgh. And we saw what Pittsburgh did to Kansas City. They didn't just beat them. They hit them in the mouth. Can Cincinnati give Pittsburgh anything? I'm still not sure who Pittsburgh is right now. I'd keep an eye on the Cincinnati Bengals. They're not quite done yet. Next team. I still do not think the New Orleans Saints defense is worth anything, but man, Drew Brees can put up some serious points. After losing their first two games, the Saints have won three in a row, and they've done it the same way they always do it, by putting up points. They've scored 106 points in their last three games. Now Adrian Peterson is gone, and now the Saints can get back to feeding Mark Ingram, letting Drew Brees do what he does. I'll say this for the Saints defense. They aren't great, but they do force turnovers. And if you give Drew Brees more opportunities, he's going to probably score some points. So far this season, he's playing mistake-free football, and that has always been the key for Drew Brees. That's always been everything with Drew Brees. Either he's really good or he's turning the ball over. So far this year, Drew Brees has 10 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. If he plays that kind of football all year, Saints might be a team to watch in the NFC South. Look at Tampa. They're stumbling. Look at Atlanta. They're stumbling. Could come down to New Orleans and Carolina in the NFC South. That's a very, very good division. Okay, I'm going to mention one last team on my under-the-radar section for the NFL. We've played it the whole show. I haven't said a thing. That's not a radar sound. That's a sonar sound. I don't know when we'll figure that out, but whatever. Okay, it isn't that people aren't talking about this team. They're starting to. But I do think there is a feeling that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to fall apart down the stretch. Here's the thing that makes me think the Eagles are a legitimate contender. And it's very, very simple. That defensive front is really, really good. They are handling people at the point of attack, and that bodes very well for Philly down the stretch. Hey, there's no question. Carson Wentz is a talented guy, and he is starting to figure things out. That game on Thursday night against Carolina, he made 2 or 3 throws that I actually had to stop and go, whoa, wait a minute. This kid's starting to get it. If that defensive front can continue to play at that pace, and Carson Wentz keeps playing the way he's playing, yeah, you better consider the Philadelphia Eagles a contender, because they absolutely are. Now, again, we've got some decent games on Sunday to watch this weekend, too. The Kansas City Chiefs, coming off of that loss to Pittsburgh, now go to the Oakland Raiders. And I know Oakland's not looking so good. They might be stumbling. But you know at home, they're going to try to come out and defend their home turf. They got beat by the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. Oakland's got their back to the wall. They have got to come out and win this game against Kansas City, and you know Kansas City needs a win. Could be a good game in the AFC West. How about the Atlanta Falcons going to New England to play the Patriots after just coming off another horrible comeback loss? And hey, we've said it all season. I know the Patriots are going to figure some things out, but they have some definite flaws within that team. Talked about a minute ago, the Cincinnati Bengals going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to see how those two teams look. They always play each other tough, though. That's a grudge match. Those two teams hate each other. Should be very, very good. And I'll give you one last game. Two teams we just talked about. Washington goes to Philadelphia. Whoever wins that game is on top of the NFC East. Again, this is going to be a weekend. It is perfectly okay for you to sit around and watch football and not do anything. And if anyone tells you different, you just tell them the Daily Dose said it was okay for you to just melt into your couch this weekend and watch football. Hey, our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up next. You know you can't miss that. You know, college football is such a crazy phenomenon. You have the players that excel at the collegiate level that are never going to make it at the next level. I think that's what makes it cool. You have the crazy fans. You have the wild finishes. You have the unorthodox offenses. And you also have some of the most unique traditions that you will find anywhere. We've got a few of those traditions that might just be a little bit under your radar. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and do any shopping that you might need to do right there. Loot Crate offers an amazing range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. It's super easy. You can sign up for a single crate. You can sign up for a subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every month, or you can just order individual items. October's Loot Crate theme is called Mythical, and it features items from Stranger Things, Marvel Comics, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Ghostbusters. If you're on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. Loot Crate has any kind of merchandise you can possibly think of. And this is quality licensed memorabilia. You can always go back. You can order past crates or past items. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you place your order at checkout, just put Daily Dose in the coupon box. DALYDOSE. We will get you 10% off your order. Now, if you'd like to recommend the podcast, we would appreciate that so much. Just let your friends and coworkers and family know. They can download the podcast anywhere podcasts are being hosted. iTunes, of course, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it. They've got the Daily Dose. I still have people ask me, where do I download the podcast? Anywhere. Just pick a podcast place. They probably have it. Of course, blogtalkradio.com has every single episode. If you want to share the show with a friend, wherever you listen, just click that little share button. You can send them a direct link to it. And if they're technically challenged, you'll make it a little bit easier for them to figure out this wacky newfangled podcast thing. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. The Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and they've got a number of other podcasts over there about a number of different subjects that you're going to like, you're going to get addicted to. So make sure that you head over to rogueintel.com and check out a few of the other podcasts that are over on the network. Now, as we do every week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, college football is steeped in tradition. You've got a number of traditions out there. You might not even be aware of all of them, but when you think about it, think of all the traditions that come along with college football. You've got the dotting of the I at Ohio State. You have the smoke at Miami. They run the hill at Clemson. The Sooner Schooner runs around onto the field, sometimes tips over, at Oklahoma. And you've got the tree at Stanford. And you know, college kids come up with such crazy things. And those goofy traditions that have been passed down from class to class to class are actually sometimes extremely interesting. Now, most of these traditions, they don't come through on TV. So if you just watch the games on TV, you're like, I didn't see any of that. I didn't notice any of that. But if you've attended some college football games, then you get to witness some of the goofy traditions that take place on campuses across our country. Today on the Daily Dose, we are going to count down the Daily Dose top five under the radar college football traditions. We all know about the big ones. We know about the animal mascots. We know about Ralphie at Colorado and War Eagle down at Auburn. We know about the flaming spear down at Florida State. We know about the ringing of the cowbells down at Mississippi State and all the hand signals and the hand signs that they do, whether it's hook 'em horns at Texas or it's the pitchfork at Arizona State. We know about all those. But I'm going to give you five college football traditions that you might not be aware of. Okay, we don't do it very often, but I am going to hand out an honorable mention this week. You know, we've got a few listeners from Louisville High School down in Louisville, Texas, and we want to mention that because those Louisville Fighting Farmers have some traditions down there that we feel like we might need to mention. For one, have you ever heard of homecoming mums? Do you know what homecoming mums are? This seems to be a tradition practiced only in Texas from what I can tell. So you know how when you went to homecoming or you went to prom and you got your girl a corsage? Well, imagine making the corsage the entire length of the girl's dress and then also kind of decorating it to reflect your personal style. And, well, to kind of be honest, making it sometimes look as tacky as you possibly can. Yes, only in Texas, I'm telling you, homecoming mums are a thing and they are a huge thing at Louisville High School down in Texas. Now, those Louisville Fighting Farmers also do it up for their homecoming parade, which has been taking place for over 120 years. They have one of the biggest homecoming parades in the entire country. Keep up the good work, Fighting Farmers, and make sure that you keep listening to the Daily Dose. Now we get to our Daily Dose top five. Number five on our list. You know, if you attend the University of Wisconsin, you're going to be a part of a school that's pretty good in athletics. I mean, the Badgers are always in the thick of things in football. The basketball program is solid every single year, but you might not realize that they also have a pretty good law program up at Wisconsin. And you might also not realize that if you are a third-year graduating law student at Wisconsin, you will be invited to walk the field prior to a designated football game and participate in the Wisconsin Cane Toss. So what you do is you go from one end of the field, you walk all the way down to the other, and you toss the cane of your choice. Sometimes there's something that's been given to you from other family members, given to you from maybe a mentor. You toss your cane over the goalpost, and if you catch it without touching the ground, you're going to win your first case as a lawyer. Each year, hundreds of students run the field and participate. It has been going on since the early 1900s. Again, you might know about some of the big-time traditions in college football, but you might not have known about the Wisconsin Cane Toss. That comes in at number 5. Number 4 on our list goes back to the 60s.
You're living in the past, man. You hung up on some clown from the 60s, man.
When former Tennessee Volunteers radio announcer George Mooney, he was sick of waiting in traffic to get to the game so he could just do his job and announce the Tennessee football game. Now, you might not realize it, but Tennessee is actually one of just two college football venues that are accessible by boat. The Tennessee River runs right next to Neyland Stadium. University of Washington is actually the other one. So, George Mooney began taking his boat to the game so that he could avoid all the traffic. And now, it's become a popular tradition. Fans love to take their boats to the game and tailgate, or, I don't know, boat gate, or whatever you call it. They call themselves the Volunteer Navy, and they tailgate and boat gate before every single game. You know, I'll bet that is a surly group this year. If you're in Tennessee right now, with what is going on in that Tennessee football program, I don't know if there's going to be real fun Tennessee Volunteer Navy parties. That might be a little bit of a grouchy group. Then again, that group is probably a little bit bitter most every year. What, 98, 99, somewhere in there? That was probably the only year they weren't grouchy. Other than that, the Volunteer Navy, probably not the happiest group to hang out with. Moving on to number 3. Now, if you go to Texas A&M, down in College Station, of course you go to the games. And A&M is known for its 12th man. The nickname for their crowd, they named it that because of the contributions they make to the 11 players on the field. You might even know that after each score, the girls are supposed to kiss the guys. Because they say, at A&M, everyone scores when we score. I'm just reporting. Don't get mad at the messenger. But you might not know that you also need to show up at the stadium at midnight the night before the game to learn how to yell more effectively. Yes, midnight yell practice has been going on at Texas A&M since the 1930s. And they actually teach you how to stand and how to yell so that you are getting the most bang for your buck. You're taught to lean forward, kind of put your hands down on your thighs there, and project your voice so that you get the maximum volume on game day. And I'm telling you, it works. Because Kyle Field is one of the loudest stadiums in the country. It's almost as loud as the demons inside Johnny Manziel's head.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
That comes in at number 3. Moving on to number 2. Okay, this one's a little bit more controversial. This is one of those traditions that they're trying to get rid of at the University of Virginia. Because for some reason, alcohol poisoning, yeah, it's just not as funny as it used to be. See, at the college that Thomas Jefferson started, the University of Virginia, it seems they have a tradition of seniors consuming a fifth of liquor to celebrate 4 years of horrible football. They call it the fourth year fifth at the University of Virginia. Needless to say, university officials are vehemently against the tradition. While students like to maintain, you know, you're not really an alcoholic until you graduate. Sure, most college football traditions try not to actually have the risk of death involved, but hey, Virginia, you do you. You do you. So what could be number 1 on our list of under-the-radar college football traditions? Okay, you might not even be aware that the Penn Quakers have a football program. But they do! In fact, Pennsylvania football has been going since the late 1800s, and they are actually pretty good as far as Ivy League football goes. Penn has won 7 national titles at the lower level. Granted, they were all back in the days of like Grover Cleveland, but still, they won those national titles. And they have won 18 conference titles as recently as 2016. So it wasn't just back then. But they do have one of the coolest traditions that takes place in college football today. You probably never heard of it. Following the third quarter, fans in the stands sing the school fight song, Fight On Pennsylvania, which contains the line, "Here's a toast to good old Penn." Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, whatever, alcohol has been banned at Penn athletic events. So instead of actually toasting, everyone in the stands at Penn throws toast, bagels, or any other sort of baked goods that they have out onto the field. They say that 20 to 30,000 pieces of toast will be thrown onto the field at each home Penn game. I'm telling you, just go search Penn Toast on YouTube. It's pretty impressive. It's a pretty good tradition that you might not have ever heard of. But the Penn Toast is one of our favorite under the radar college football traditions. Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, we've got something a little different for you. We're going to bring you our Halloween special, and we're going to do our best to see if we can't give you a few scares next week. Plus, as you saw today, you have to be sure that you tune in for the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that it is going to go. I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening. Yes, that includes you down at Louisville High School. We are so glad to have all of you join us each and every week. Thank you for recommending the show to your friends. Thank you for sharing the show. We do appreciate that very, very much. We would love to hear from you. If you would like to contact us, make sure that you hit us up with what's on your mind. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.